A visit up to a temple in Gorebridge.
Chair, I declare an interest in that. I was very friendly with the parents of the applicant.
Yes, I think we all noticed that yesterday.
Chair, I'll have to excuse myself as well.
Aye, the game. Okay. We'll come and get you, just we'll not be long. Aye. Right, Peter.
Okay, thank you, Chair. This report relates to a review regarding the installation of UPVC windows at 35 Temple Gore Bridge. The proposal is to replace, like I said, the existing timber windows with UPVC ones. A planning application for the proposed development was refused on the 17th of May 2017. A copy of the decision notice, the officer's report and the applicant's statement are in your papers. A site visit was carried out yesterday, 28th of August, and the review is to proceed by way of written submissions. Following the decision of the local review body, a decision notice will be issued through the chair and made available on the electronic case file.
Okay, open up for members of the committee.
Yeah, the issue... Would you want me to kick off? The issue here is the fenestration and the use of UPVC, and as we discussed yesterday, there are various places I know of in conservation areas which have had UPVC, including this a school that was owned by Midlothian Council. So my issues tend to be with the fenestration itself. The damage was done to this house a long time ago with these oblong windows, which are not in keeping with the Georgian house that it must have originally been. But I don't know if we have any discretion to suggest a slightly less modern pattern of glazing as distinct from tackling the UPVC issue. Perhaps Mr. Armsdorf could advise.
Chair, you can require a more traditional design or a design which is one that you prefer. I suppose, if I remember from the site visit yesterday, actually, if you looked around some of the surrounding buildings, there was a variety of designs, casement windows, sash and case. So just have to be a bit careful. I'm sort of sat here thinking, what is the standard design for that section there?
So I'm basically thinking in terms of...
I was just going to say, Councillor Smale, that the added-on part of the building yesterday actually had the more traditional window.
Wee windows, as I call them, yes. So Georgian style.
And I mean, you can get UPVC windows these days that do have that, and it gives that kind of effect. And
that's what,
you know,
the council
certainly
did.
It would certainly marry it up with that part of the thing. I mean, we had this dilemma before on previous LRBs a good number of years ago, where we ended up with a situation where UPVC, as long as it could actually be done in a sympathetic way, we ended up as an LRB saying it was acceptable that on a particular application, because I think the house next door had already done it without planning without the benefit of planning permission. You know how the story goes. So we tried to ensure that we could have some continuity there. And I think perhaps what you're saying, Councillor Smale, and maybe putting words in your mouth, is if we could make it similar to that, then UPVC may be acceptable, but not in the form that that's in.
That's precisely what the council did at Borthwick School. They retained the existing Georgian fenestration, the wee windows, but used UPVC, and I have no problem with that.
How do others feel about that? Russ?
So just based on that, then, Chair, is it a case then that... you might need to support the installation of new UPVC windows, but we just add a condition that they're of a traditional style to be agreed by the planning authority.
That would be perfect.
Okay.
Right. Just one other thing. Yeah. To be honest, there was a without prejudice condition in the paperwork here, there was inconsistency in some of the drawings from the applicant showing multiple styles of windows, so we were just going to suggest conditioning that out. That's almost superseded by this condition about the traditional windows.
Okay.
Obviously, on consultation with the owner.
A
Councillor Cassidy and Councillor Muirhead back in, please.
Thanks. Okay, that takes us on to the Abbey Granary at New Battle Road, Newton Grange. Again, we were there yesterday.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, this is a report which relates to a review submitted regarding an application for the change of use of a pub to a mixed use of pub, restaurant and hot food takeaway at the Abbey Granary, 12 New Battle Road, Newton Grange. This planning application has actually been granted planning permission, but it was subject to a condition which was restricting the use as a hot food takeaway. The applicant has requested that you review that permission, in particular this condition, which is condition 5, and hopefully remove that condition. A planning application for the proposed development was granted on the 7th of July 2017, and again, you've got all the paperwork from both the officers, the applicant's statement, and a copy of the original decision notice. There was a site visit yesterday, and this review is to proceed by written submissions. And again, following today's decision, a decision notice will be issued through the Chair and made available on the electronic case file.
Okay, again, we were there yesterday. Maybe kick it off by saying, you know, it's a beautiful looking building on a corner site, and I think the applicant personally is having a lot of problems to get it moved on, to get it operating and opening as a restaurant stroke licensed premises. And it may be that particularly that condition is jeopardising the opportunity of opening again. And the worry for me on balance is that if you don't allow this condition to be taken off it, then in a sense it might just sit there and it might not look very good in a few years' time. And that's the dilemma, but I'm quite happy to have the discussion debate on that, because it may be that members feel that, no, we should stick to our guns.
Thank you, Chair. I'd completely agree with everything you said there. I think that there's so many pubs and institutions like this closing every week right across the length and breadth of the country that it's a shame to be losing something that's a valuable asset in the community. And I think that taking away the fact that it's going to be hypothetically maybe doing carry-out food, I think that it's going to be limited if it's got seating accommodation and a bar as well. It's not like it's going to be a kebab shop that's just got a queue of people at the door. And in this day and age, I think businesses need as many strings to their bow as they can get. And I think that you're right. I think this is going to limit the marketable force for this shop. So I'd go with what you're saying there, sir. Thank you.
Is there any other views on this by members? I mean, you know, as I say, I'll go one way or the other. It's just on balance. I feel we want to be trying to help people as much as we can, but I don't want to jeopardise either that you know, the community is affected by it. So it's just to try and get that balance. Goes on your head.
Just as local member, I mean, I'm aware that, you know, you're saying it being a beautiful building. It was boarded up for quite a while as well. They've had shutters on the windows and things like that. It has been shut for quite a long time. And, you know, I'm struggling actually to think, maybe a couple of exceptions, of restaurants in our area, in the type of area that we're in, that don't add to their potential income by doing takeaways. Probably more deliveries than people coming in off the street, but nevertheless, you know, takeaways as something that really can make the business viable or not. So you know, I can understand that desire, and I know there's a takeaway establishment right on the other side of the road for it as well already. So I really didn't have a particular problem with this being given the permission to operate that kind of business with takeaway.
The others okay on that, Councillor Smale?
Yes, just a query as to whether the use will definitely be ancillary as it's described. That I think depends on the opening hours. So if the ancillary activity went on till 2 a.m, that might be a concern, but presumably it will only go on as long as the restaurant bar is open, and that will be normal licensing hours.
Yeah, when the planning permission was granted, there was 4 other conditions, which, if you refer to page 79, I'm saying that if you want to, like I say, remove the condition which restricts the hot food takeaway, then you're happy for the other 4 to remain. One of them relates to the hours, so you are sort of keeping the hours consistent with the rest of it. So if the members, I get the impression the members are minded to support the removal of that original condition 5, but are you happy to leave the other ones which relate to hours, ensuring there's an appropriate ventilation system, which is quite standard for any food-based use, and there's one about no amplified music being loud enough, basically you could hear it in the neighbouring property.
I'm satisfied.
Okay on that one. Right, thanks very much. Land south of Glenarch Lodge, Melville Road, Dalkeith.
Yes, thank you, Chair. This is a report which relates to a review submitted regarding an application for the erection of 3 dwelling houses on land 100 metres south of Glenarch Lodge, Melville Road, Dalkeith. The proposed dwelling houses are 2 storeys with some single-storey components. The buildings are of contemporary design with flat roofs. The proposed materials include sandstone, render, timber cladding, zinc cladding, sedum roofs and solar panels. The application also included substantial engineering work, such as creating a new vehicular access. A plan and application for the proposed development was refused on the 2nd of June 2017. A copy of that decision notice, along with the officer's report and the applicant's statement, are in your papers. There was indeed a site visit yesterday on the 28th, and the review is to proceed by written submissions. And again, the decision notice will be issued through the chair after you've made a decision and be placed in the electronic case file.
Okay, open again to members. Right, go on.
Could I just say, again, we did the site visit and we looked at the plans, at the design. I thought it was a stunning design, the plan, which would be advantageous to that corner of the world. But I believe the planners had a few reservations about ground tests and such like. If I understood you properly, Peter.
Yeah, Chair. I mean, if you look at the decision notice, which is on the original decision notice, which starts on page 123 of your papers, it identifies actually 10 reasons for refusal. So some relate to design, some relate to amenity, some relate to impact on landscape, some relate to the ground conditions, in particular there's a coal mining risk assessment issue, there's a reason there relating to protected species, so there's a whole variety of reasons. It is just worth bearing in mind, Chair, and it is in the papers on page 97, paragraph 9.3, that it's quite an important issue, the coal mining risk assessment, insofar as it obviously the stability of the ground. The coal authority are a statutory consultee, and at the moment there's an outstanding objection, so if the members were minded to support it, they would need to address that issue before any permission could be issued.
Councillor McCormony.
I think I've just covered the point to an extent there, Peter, with what you said there. But in terms of the statutory consultation, what statutory consultation would we have? Okay, we've got the Coal Authority and the European Protected Species. Is that a statutory consultation?
Yes, Chair.
Aye. So, I mean, is there any other ones in there that are statutory?
In terms of the reasons of objection, Chair.
Right. And the only concern I had was the sort of entrance and exit from the place. But I mean, if we can be satisfied that the boundary wall, if you want, which is adjacent to the pavement, was actually cut back enough to give good visibility. There's a lot more corners in Lothian that are a lot tighter than that. I thought the design was actually very good. I was quite impressed with the thing. So. Maybe subject to statutory consultation, I wouldn't have been happy with it if other members are in the same mind.
Chair, I think there's a lot of reasons for refusal put forward by planning officers on this one. And to be frank, there's a lot of them that I think I would agree with. I think the issue of no having had the coal mining risk assessment carried out in advance, I think, is problematic, even if it was made a condition. We would be ignoring our policy on levels of amenity space for these houses. And you know, while we've taken, I think probably I certainly have been influenced when I'm taking decisions about reducing the amount of amenity space in properties where there's good reason to do it, like proximity to the railway station. No, the railway, as this is right next to, I'm talking about actually the railway station. So where we've got sites being built close to the stations, I think there's an argument to say we should try to get more housing into these sites to maximise the use of the public transport system. I don't think this falls into that. I think it's, while, you know, I do personally quite like the styles, that's a matter of taste, but they're a very prominent position right away up there, and I do feel that this is more about getting the number of houses into the space available as opposed to anything that's more considered about that particular corner. And I realise there are ownership issues, and it just seems to me, I can understand from the applicant's perspective why they would want to try and pursue what they're doing here. I just think there are so many problems with it. Now, you know, I do have real concerns personally on the road and the access on that bend. Now, I'm uncomfortable saying that because I'm conscious of the fact that roads officers are only making an objection. But you know, somebody that I've travelled that road most of my life, and it's always been a kind of problematic bend. You know, these bends at that particular place. And when I was reading the information before we went down there yesterday, I really found it quite difficult to picture in my head how that was going to be dealt with. And when I actually got there and wandered round on the pavement, which I've never done before, always been in a car, and then I started to have even more concerns, to be honest with you. So I think, on balance, I think officers are right to recommend rejection, or to have rejected this this application.
Yeah, I mean, sorry,
I was just going to say, I also have issues with the road, but if that could be eliminated, you know, the blind bend, then I think that this would actually be lovely on that corner. I think I agree that it would make a stunning building or buildings.
Yeah, I mean, I think the dilemma for me is that it's a gateway to Dalkeith. And, you know, it's just unfortunate there's a site next door that's actually crying out for development. And I know we're not, as a planning authority, we've not got the authority to do that. But if you could get the two people together and say, listen, come up with a scheme, I think it would actually alleviate a number of the problems that have actually been, you know, been discussed here. The difficulty is we don't have that in front of us. All we've got in front of us is this particular application. And the difficulty is that, you know, unless, dare I say, the speed limit can be reduced, then you still have a road safety issue. And, you know, well, having said that, you go right around Midlothian and there's just as many areas as well. So it's a kind of halfway house, but anyway, it's just, I'm uncertain.
Can I just ask, I mean, I take it our highways were consulted on this, and haven't they made any representations? I mean, obviously it's subject to the layout from the applicant being satisfactory for visibility. I take it they have been consulted though.
Yeah, Chair, they have been consulted and they made comment. They haven't formally objected, and that's based on two things. One, that the road speed be changed. If you remember yesterday, we were talking about it's 40 miles an hour past the site, and it goes to 30, pretty well where the bridge is. But they're saying if you can change the speed back to 30, back round past the site, then that would help. And if you remember, they're talking about the visibility splays, where you need that engineering works to take out bits of the wall, regrade the land, clear out the vegetation, so that as you came out the entrance, you get a big span because you're right on the bend. So that's what their comments were. If you can deliver those two things, then they didn't object. So it's a question of whether you're happy with those two.
If I can follow up, what's the process for extending the 30-mile limit then? Could that be a condition, or would the applicant need to do that themselves, or just what would the procedure be?
Yeah, it's fair. It's out with the remit of the planning authority, but it's in the remit of the council as a transport authority to have a traffic order to change speeds. But it is subject to consultation exercise, which includes the police and other bodies. So there is a process to go through. I can't prejudge the outcome of that. But what you would be expecting is that the application not to start on site maybe until that's at least been concluded one way or the other, Chair.
Councillor Muirhead.
Again, I do acknowledge that there hadn't been that objection from Rhodes on the basis of it being 30. Problem is, irrespective of whether it's 30 or no, people go more than 30. You know, and I have that concern. I mean, when we went down there yesterday, we approached from S Bank Junction, and there were three vehicles, and to try to turn right there was problematic to me as a driver. I wasn't comfortable at all turning right into the bit that we parked at. Now, irrespective of whether there's 30 mile an hour signs, there's going to be people going more than 30 around that corner, and I just find, from a personal point of view, that for traffic or roads management position, I'm uncomfortable with.
Okay, can we come to some sort of decision on this one?
Right, well, seeing as I came in earlier, I would move grant on the basis that the visibility for the access and egress is actually sorted out as per the plans. The statutory order for the 30 miles extended, and what was the other one? The two statutory consultations for BATS, basically, and the coal authority are actually concluded. But I mean, at the end of this, I mean, whatever people think, they like the design or they don't like the design, the applicant, if the people don't like the design, they're not going to buy them. So, you know, it's the risk the applicant takes. And I think you said yourself yesterday, Peter, that, you know, that Bibby need the extra house to make it work, because there's quite a lot of infrastructure to go in here. The road, the cutting back of the sort of wall next to the pavement, that's a big undertaking. Because you're not just to cut it back, you've got to reinstate it as well, so there's a fair bit of work to go. But I just think sometimes we get caught up in designs and all the rest of it. If it's not a good design and it doesn't look very good, nobody's going to buy them. So it's up to the applicant for their own. So I'd be happy to see it going ahead on the basis of the conditions I've said there.
Sorry, I'll move against the appeal, to reject the appeal on the basis of the conditions that the planning officers have put forward on the their basis for the refusal.
I'd like to second that.
Three, four, two, chair.
Yeah, Chair, that's obviously to grant planning permission. The papers make reference to a requirement for a developer contribution. You usually, in schemes of this size, basically get the two units free and you pay on the third unit. There's also a requirement to resolve the issue with the coal mining risk assessment, which would need to be done. And there was also some conditions in the report protecting, obviously, the wildlife design, landscape, all the rest of it, to try and make the development fit into its setting. They're quite standard conditions. So if the members are happy with those conditions, in addition to that, just the issue about the 30 miles an hour speed, just need to make sure that takes place. So I'll need to speak to my transportation colleagues and make sure that goes down to 30 miles an hour prior to any development taking place, Chair.
Okay. Chair, I was meant to put Councillor Mulligan's apologies in. I kind of remember you asking.
Councillor Muir, I have apologies from Councillor Mulligan and Councillor Baird. Noted.